Well, please turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Psalms, chapter 119, verses 97 through 104. Psalm 119, 97 through 104. Just remember, the Psalms were inspired songs that were to be sung to the Lord by the people of God. Psalm 119 is the longest psalm, and it's certainly a beautiful psalm. And I hope you have found that to be true as we've gone through this on Sunday evenings. One said that Psalm 119 is a star in the firmament of the Psalms. He said the manner it is composed in is very elegant, and the matter it is composed of is very excellent. And I agree with that, and we're seeing that more and more as we continue to walk through it. It's interesting because this psalm is an acrostic of the Hebrew alphabet. Because there are 22 Hebrew letters, that means that there are 22 stanzas in this psalm, one for each letter, consisting of 8 verses for each stanza. Today we're looking at the M stanza, or in the Hebrew, the Mem stanza, which means that the first Hebrew letter in each verse of this M stanza begins with the Hebrew letter Mem. As we know by now, the focus of this psalm is the Word of God, because the psalmist knows that that's how he can draw near to the God of the Word. See, he loves God. He wants to be a man of God. He wants to overcome and be faithful to his God. He wants to please God in the midst of all the hardships that he's going through. So how is he going to do that? The Word of God. The Word of God. He gets it, see, and I pray that we also get it this evening. So, if you want to know the Hebrew alphabet, follow the psalm, right? We've already been through this. Aleph, Beth, Gimel, Daleth, He, Wav, Zion, Heth, Teth, Yod, Kaf, Lamed, and now Mem. Let's look and see what this Mem stanza has for us, verse 97. Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. You, through your commandments, make me wiser than my enemies, for you are ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients, because I keep your precepts. I have restrained my feet from every evil way that I may keep your word. I have not departed from your judgments, for you yourself have taught me. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through your precepts I get understanding. Therefore, I hate every false way. Now here in this psalm, a key thought in this stanza in particular, a key thought really jumps out to us, which is this, that the psalmist knows He knows that he is wise and that he is full of understanding. He knows that. This isn't pride here that makes him say this. No, it's simply the truth. He says, I'm wise and I am full of understanding. Look, verse 98, he says he is wiser than his enemies. Verse 99, he has more understanding than all of his teachers. Verse 100, he has more understanding than the ancients. And then he mentions understanding yet again in verse 104. So wisdom and understanding is the thing that really jumps out to us in this particular Mem stanza. Now look at this. There are three sorts of men that the writer mentions that he is wiser than. His enemies, his teachers, and the ancients. Now how can he say that? He can say it because he knows this. His wisdom is true wisdom. His wisdom is true wisdom. See, his enemy's wisdom was not from above, but it was earthly. It was from the earth. It was wicked. His teacher's wisdom was merely head knowledge, academic, information, textbook. And then the ancient's wisdom is wisdom that comes from age, and it's wisdom that comes from experience. Yes, but that's not true wisdom the way the Lord defines true wisdom. No. The writer here is talking about true wisdom, godly wisdom, biblical wisdom. And he has it. Think about this. How wise is it for a person to know all that there is to know about many things, about the earth, about science, gravity, the stars, medicine, you name it, he knows it. And then this person comes to the end of his life and he dies and he goes to hell because he's rejected the Lord as his master and savior. Is that wise? No, it is not. Mere head knowledge isn't true wisdom, is it? Look, the Hebrew word for wise in verse 98 is the word hakam, and it speaks of discerning and perceiving that which is truly correct. Now question, who is correct, who is true, and who is right in all that he does? The Lord God Almighty, right? So true wisdom will lead a person to the Lord, and fools will despise the Lord no matter how much head knowledge they have. They're still fools if they despise the Lord. So biblically, the man or woman who fears God and who lives according to what God says is truly the wise man. And the foolish man will reject the Lord. Proverbs 1:7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. So the psalmist is wiser than his enemies because he is a fearer of God. And they hate God and the people of God. And that has been made clear up to this point. That his enemies are his enemies because he is a lover of the Lord. Now, how is he wiser than them? Think about this. He's going to heaven and they're going to hell. He's a child of God and they are enemies of God. He knows what God says about life and morality and eternal things, and they follow their own rules and their own thoughts. Who is wiser? Where are these enemies going to go when tragedy strikes? Who will they pray to for help when they're about to take their last breath? Where do they get their standards from? Who are they following after as their Lord and Master? Satan? Yes. How wise is that? How wise is it to flush away hope and peace and forgiveness and mercy and life by rejecting the Lord of life? The psalmist is wiser than his enemies. He loves and fears God. He has an anchor for his soul. He has God walking beside him all the time. He lives a life that is hard, yes, but also it's a life that's filled with hope and peace and mercy and joy because God gives all that to his people. And look, he has heaven as his eternal inheritance. He is truly a wise man. Also, look what it says in verse 99. I have more understanding than all of my teachers. Hebrew word for understand here, sakal, speaks of comprehension and insight, true insight into a matter. So this is speaking of not just the head knowledge of something, but the wise application of that knowledge, comprehending it, understanding it, knowing how to apply it correctly in your life. So what's he saying? I don't think he's putting down his teachers here. I don't think he's putting down his teachers. He seems grateful for all the head knowledge that his teachers have given him throughout the years, yes. But look, as God's word is his sure guide, he not only filters everything he learns from his teachers through the word of God first, but he's also gained godly wisdom to live these things out in the best way possible for the glory of God. So look, he learns something from a teacher, whatever that may be, and the first thing he does is he compares it to the word of God. Is it true? Is it false? Does it compare to the Word of God accurately or doesn't it? If it doesn't contradict Scripture, that is always true, then the next thing he does is discern by what he has learned in the Word how to use what he has just been taught to better honor the Lord in his life. And that's how he can say that he understands more than his teachers. They teach him head knowledge, but because God's Word is his guide and because God's Word gives him real wisdom, he's also able to use what he learns to better honor the Lord in his life. He gets it, see? True wisdom. I understand it here and it goes in here and I live it out for the glory of God. That's wisdom. He goes on in verse 100 and says this, I understand more than the ancients. That word, talking about the elderly, the aged, the old. The Hebrew word for understand here, bain, means to perceive, to know, or to comprehend the true nature or the true meaning of something. And here the psalmist is saying that while they have life experience, the older generation, he keeps the precepts of God, the second part of verse 100. And therefore, he has way more true knowledge than they do. He outdoes them by his godly life, see, and that's real wisdom, isn't it? That's real understanding. He lives it out. As one said, understanding gotten by precepts of the word is better than understanding gotten by long experience. And that's correct. Even more, real understanding puts the precept of God into action. And The psalmist outshines his elders in this most important activity because he lives out his faith while theirs is just lying dormant. Oh yes, they have life understanding. Oh yes, they know how to, cook the perfect fried chicken through years of trial and error. They've learned the best techniques for farming because of the many years that they have been farming, but the psalmist surpasses them in the most important things. Glorifying God, obeying God, honoring God, that's true wisdom. So what about your fried chicken if you're weak in the things of God? Right? So what about your farming if you're weak in the things of God? Now, please note I'm not dissing a good fried chicken, okay? Know that. And if you can make a good fried chicken and still honor God at the same time, glory be to God, right? Amen? Come on, let me hear it. Okay, right? But the psalmist gets it. He gets it. He has true wisdom and understanding about the most important things, the things of eternity, the things that last, the things of God. There's no real wisdom apart from this, not really. Earthly wisdom alone will land you in hell. Most of the greatest minds of the day are on a beeline for eternal wrath because they spurn true wisdom. They spurn God and His Word. How wise will that be in the end? Now, the psalmist gets it because he fears, reveres, loves, honors, esteems, worships, and obeys God. How wise are you? How wise are you? The rest of the stanza can really be summarized by three questions. First, where did this wisdom that the psalmist is excelling in come from? We know the answer, right? Through God's precepts, the Word of God, right? We know that. Verse 98. You, through your commandments, makes me wise. Very clear. In verse 99, the psalmist says that he has understanding because the testimonies of God are his meditation. So understanding comes from God's testimonies, God's Word. In verse 100, he says that he understands because he keeps God's precepts. So he knows and does what God says, and that comes from God's Word. And then verse 104 sums it up perfectly for us when it says, through your precepts I get understanding. So again, wisdom and true understanding comes from the Word of God. You want to be wise? Dive into the Word. And then put it into practice. You really want to understand the treasure? Do you really understand the treasure that we have in the Word of God? Do we really understand that? The Bible is God's Word for His people. It contains everything we need for life and holiness. The Bible is how God speaks to us today, and it's fully sufficient for our every true need. Thomas Reed said, "What a treasure is the Word of God. Here we have light to dissipate our darkness, truth to guide us amid the mazes of error, consolations to gladden us in a world of misery. The Bible is a revelation of the Father's love, the expression of Jehovah's grace to sinners, the depository of heavenly blessing, the charter of our highest privilege, the religion of the true Christian, the glory of our churches, the poor man's friend." Henry Law said, "The Bible is the richest treasure in the world." Do you really believe that? Without it, the palace is a dark blank. With it, the humble cottage sparkles with celestial light. It's the transcript of God's heart. It tells what human reason is weak to find. It is pure truth without one shade of error. It gives knowledge on all things needful for time and for eternity. It is a safe guide through life's entangled path. It is a compass through shoals and rocks amid winds and waves to heaven's eternal rest. The sage is ignorant without it. The peasant learns from it salvation's road. It's a solace for every hour. It is a companion always ready to converse. It cheers when other comforts fail. It's arrayed in every charm for intellect. It never wearies. It's always fresh. Its oldest truths cannot grow old. Its readers become more wise and more holy. And I say amen to that. The Word of God. It's a treasure. And yet, how many are flippant with it? Wisdom says to build your life around this book, God's book. Wisdom says to eat it up. Wisdom says to do all you can to make it sink into your head, into your heart, and into your life. And the question is, are you wise? Does it show in the way you treat God's Word in your life and in the way you put yourself in situations to take in God's Word? How? By being here. You're very wise, right? By being here, Bible study, Titus 2, men's study, small groups, faith groups, on and on. Wisdom hungers for more wisdom. I need the Word of God. I need it. I crave it. Is that true of you? Are you wise? Question number two, what should I do to be wise? We've kind of looked at that already. The psalmist tells us, but let's look. Going from verses 97 down to 104, it says this. A summary. To love, you can kind of see it as you go through. To meditate, keep, cherish, stay near, and eat up God's Word. That's it. That's it. That's what you need to do if you want to be wise, truly wise. Look, verse 97 really sums it up. Oh, how I love your law, and why not? It makes us wise and it reveals God and His heart to us. Why not? Now again, the psalmist uses the words law, commandments, testimonies, precepts, ordinances, words, and judgments to refer to the same thing. The Word of God that the psalmist had access to up to this point. Now for him, that's speaking of the first five books of the Old Testament. The law, the Torah, the Pentateuch, that's it. But for us today, this applies to the whole of the Word of God. The Old Testament, the New Testament, the Law, the Prophets, the Poetic Books, the Gospels, Acts, the Epistles, all of it. And think about that. If the psalmist loved the first five books of the Bible so very much, how much more us today who have the completed Word of God at our ready disposal? He says, I love it. Do you love it? Do you love it? Why should we love it? Because we love the God who wrote it. Because it reveals our God more and more to us. Because it shows us how to glorify Him, which should be our heart's desire, right? Because it gives us the truth that points us to heaven. Because it makes us wise in the things that last forever. Shouldn't we love God's book? If we love Him, we're going to love His Word very clearly. How precious is the book divine, by inspiration given. Bright as a lamp, its doctrines shine to guide our souls to heaven. So, I love it, he says. How you treat your Bible reveals really how you feel about the God who wrote it. What about you? What's that say? What's that reveal? Those who love God love His book. The psalmist continues, it's my meditation all the day. He loves it, so he meditates on it, of course. Meditation is simply recalling what we have committed to memory and then turning it over and over and over again in our minds to mine out the greatest implications and applications for our lives. The idea is this, God's Word is powerful and living and effective and it changes my life. I love it because I love Him. Therefore, I'm going to read it. And then after I read it, I'm going to think on it and ponder it and think on it again and glean all I can out from it because it's a treasure house for my soul. And I'm going to do this all the day long because I love Him so very much. And look, the more I meditate on it because I love Him, the more I love Him. That's amazing how that works. But it's true. He continues in verse 100, I keep your precepts. Keep means to watch, to guard, to preserve, and to protect. And just as God does that for us as children, so are we to respond by doing the same for His Word. It speaks of love, of passion, of a commitment to live this out with great care and with great concern. Next, in verse 101, the psalmist speaks of cherishing the Word. The word cherish isn't used in this verse, but that's the sense of this verse. I have restrained my feet from every evil way that I may keep your Word. The word for keep here in this verse is a different Hebrew word than the word for keep in the last verse. And it speaks of doing, of putting it into action. So what's he saying? This, I want to do all I can to obey God's commands because I love Him so very much. I want nothing to hinder me from taking it in and from living it out. And my life is committed to revealing that clear fact. See, he just wants to honor the Lord. And the way he's going to do that is by cherishing, loving holding close to God's word so he can obey it more and more and more in his life. And that's real wisdom, isn't it? That's real wisdom. I just want to honor God. I just want to please God. I just want to worship my God. That's it. So I flee to the word. I cherish it and I live it out because that's how I grow. And that's how I draw near to him. Very good. Also, verse 102. I have not departed from your judgments. In other words, I won't turn aside from the word. I'm going to stay the course. I will remain true. I'm not going to waver. I love that. He's just committed to what God says. See, no matter what, he's saying, I won't waver. I will not waver from the truth. Even if cancer strikes, I won't waver. Even if tragedy strikes, I won't waver. Even when life is crumbling down around me and I suffer for my faith and people turn against me and my life is in shambles, I won't waver from the truth. I know him enough to know that he's worth it no matter what. I won't waver. I love that. His word is true. He's the truth. And I will cling to him. See? Is that true of you? Is that true of you? That's real wisdom. It sees beyond the things of this life and it looks to the next. It understands that this life is short, eternity is forever, and it lives for that which lasts forever. It looks to God, it looks to heaven, it lives according to the things of eternity. Are you wise? Finally, look, wisdom eats up the word of God, verse 103. Literally, look, how sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Isn't that good? I love the picture here. What's the picture? That the psalmist is just eating up God's word and he can't get enough of the word of God. It's like sweet honey and he just wants more, see? Like baby birds in the nest, when the mother bird comes with that worm, those little birds are stretching their necks out as far as they can to get the food, to get that worm, because they are so incredibly hungry. And that's the picture of how we should be with the Word of God. Opening up our mouths wide so they can be filled with the truth of God that leads us to Him. Isn't that a good picture? Lord, feed me. It's a great picture. Hungry souls love the Word of God. And to them, it's not like eating Brussels sprouts, right? It's like honey. It tastes good. It just wants more. That's the attitude and heart of the wise person. Note this. Note that the Bible is no lazy man's book. It's the greatest treasures. Its greatest treasures are yielded up to those who most diligently seek it out and eat it up. William Gurnall said, truth lies deep and must be dug for. And he's right. So I say dig and hunger for it and eat it up whenever you can and watch what it does as you prepare for eternity. The Word of God. Well, the third question to ask in this stanza is this. What will all of this cause to happen in my life? God's word makes me wise. Therefore, I will love and keep and eat up his word. Hopefully, prayerfully, if you're wise, that's what you do. And then what'll that do? Well, it'll do many things, but two things here specifically that the psalmist mentions. It does much more, but two things specifically. First, it will help to keep my feet from evil. That stands out, verse 101. In other words, God's word taken up and eaten up will then help and enable you to walk his path and stay out of the way of wickedness. And instead of walking the path of sinners, you'll be enabled to better walk the path of God. That's good. Isn't that what we want? I want to battle sin. I want to overcome sin. I want to walk so as to be well-pleasing to God more and more and more in my life. What do? I eat up the Word of God because that's what wisdom tells me to do. That's where I grow. That's how I learn. That's how I'll be able to honor him with the short time I have left. See? Now the Spirit works mightily through the Word. Instead of walking the path of sinners, His Word will light our way more and more and more. There's not only wisdom here, there's strength here when we take it into our heads and let it flow into our hearts and watch it flow out into our lives. You want to be stronger? You want to grow in your faith? You want to walk the way Christ would have you walk more and more? You want to overcome the flesh more and more? I hope you do. The psalmist tells us that the Word of God is a means that will keep you in the way of God. How can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word. That's found in verse 9. The same is true for young women as well as young and old men and old women. The word guides, but it also gives strength. And when you're dry, most people run from the word of God when the first thing you should do is flee to it and then to stay there. But here, God's word will help you to keep your feet from evil and to live more and more for the glory of God. So what does that say when we don't eat up the word of God? What does that say? Doesn't it say that we don't really want to overcome sin and honor the Lord in our lives? Doesn't it? It's a sobering thought. God's word will help keep our feet from evil. Also look, God's word will help us to hate every false way. Verse 104, through your precepts I get understanding. Then what? Therefore I hate every false way. I get it, so I hate every false way. See what's going on? The word is changing the psalmist's mind about things. And as he dives into it, he now understands the true standard by which all things are to be judged. What is right? What is wrong? What God's man should love and what God's man or woman should hate? What is true? What is a lie? What is godly? What is sinful? And he just conforms to what God says because God is true and because God knows. God is a standard. We are not. Look, he doesn't buy into the garbage that says, you have your truth and I have mine. No way. There is only one truth, God's truth, and every other way is a lie, and the psalmist hates those lies, and so should we. I hate every false way. Why? Because it goes against what my beloved God tells me, and it offends Him, and it offends, if it offends Him, then it offends me, because I love Him, see? And even more, it leads people down the wrong road, the road to wrath. I don't hate the people, no. I have compassion on the people. But I do hate the false way that they're going. Because Satan's behind it and Satan's the father of lies. And I love God's word so very much that I hate everything that turns me and others away from it. Because that means that it turns them and me away from Him. See? So the psalmist lets God's word shape his thoughts and his way of life. And that's real wisdom. And the question is, are you wise? Who cares about what society says? What does God's word say? The other opinions don't really matter. And more, the world's opinions are becoming less biblical and much more wicked. And popular opinion doesn't mean it's right or godly most of the time. And our call is to be wise and not only base our thoughts on God's word, but also base our lives on God's word. Be wise. Be wise. Don't be a fool. So what? You dive into the Word of God. You eat up the Word of God. You live it out for the glory of God and for your own eternal good. Because you love Him. And you want to please Him. Be wise. Lord, help us. Let's pray. Father, help us, O Lord, to be wise. Lord, help us to hate sin. To hate every evil way. To love what you love and to hate what you hate. Thank you, Lord, for giving us a guide through all of that, your word. Lord, help us to be wise and eat it up. Hunger for it, to thirst for it, to take it in deeply so that we can be men and women that were well-pleasing to you. May we dive into your word. May we be people of prayer. May we be near your people so we can rub off on each other for your glory. Speak to our hearts now. Make us wise for your glory. Amen. God bless. Thank you.